So we have been looking at the heroes and the heroines of the faith. Those that have gone before us, who've ran their race, that have gone on to glory, but they are cheering us on. They're saying, come on, you can do this. If you've fallen down, don't worry. Get back up again. You can do it. Keep running your race of faith. And that's what we're looking at this year. And for those of you who have not been with us this year, let me share with you. This year, we've been looking at the heroes and the heroines of our faith. So we've been looking at some big hitters. We've been looking at Abraham. We've looked at Esther. We heard from Grace all about Joshua and from Gabby about Moses and Corrie and about Joseph. And we heard from Susan about Mary. And you had two other awesome women, Abigail and Rahab. And there was more, and I've forgotten them all. But we've so far this year, we have heard of some fantastic heroes and heroines who have ran their race. Did they get it right all the time? No. Did they fall at times? Yes. But in every one of their lives, we see a faithful, loving God. So in this particular series that we're looking at just now, and tonight we're in week three, it's a 5-week series, we're in week three, we are looking at another heroine of the faith. Can I just say that after this series, just to give you a wee idea of where we're going, there will be a week off. It was advertised a few weeks back. That is an end of series break. But our plan, and this is hot off the press tonight, and I think Corinne gives me the go ahead to let you know. Our plan is to actually launch Saturday's YouTube clips. So it was recorded on Saturday. So in the week that we're not here in September, you can maybe get together and get a cup of tea and some lavender shortbread and you can watch all over again. Or if you sadly missed it, you can watch it for the first time. How does that sound? That sounds good, good. But we are looking at a heroine just now, and as I said, it's week three. And in week one, I'm going over a lot of stuff here because we've got a few new faces in tonight. But in week one, we heard from the Holy Spirit. That is God here. God in spirit is with us here tonight. And we heard from the Holy Spirit that he has called us by name. That God has given you a name. It is personal. It is your name. Now, you might not know what your name means. You might not like the person who gave you your name. But it doesn't matter. Because God has called you by name. It's personal. You are his and you belong to him. He has chosen you and he loves you. So we need to stop answering to the old names. Like, you're nothing, you're useless, you're rubbish, you'll never achieve anything, you're dirty, you're this, you're that, you're the next thing. And we need to start answering to who we really are, a child of God. So we looked at the fact that we're a child of God, but we also looked at the fact that we're a child of God living in a world, but we're not to be like this world. So you see, this world have you believe that you need to be this all-singing, all-dancing, independent woman, when actually we heard in week one that we're not called to be independent women. And if you're hearing this for the first time this evening, I'm sorry if that burst your bubble. Because God's not called you to be independent. He's called you to be a dependent woman. A woman dependent on him. Because I don't know about you, but I can't do this life without him. I've tried, I messed up. So I do need him. So if being a dependent woman means I'm needy, well, let me tell you something, I am needy. Because I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Jesus to help me be a mother. I need Jesus to help me be a wife. I need Jesus to help me to be a pastor. Because I also am the pastor, one of the pastors at this church here, Mosvale Community Church. So we need Jesus. So we're looking at a woman in the Bible. And her name is Deborah. So if you were new tonight and you heard Mary at the beginning talking about this amazing, awesome woman, as she calls her, she wasn't referring to me, okay? She's referring to Deborah, the woman in the Old Testament in the Bible. Has everybody got a Bible? Put your hand up if you've not got a Bible. Not tonight, but if you just don't own a Bible. Does everybody own a Bible? Don't be ashamed if you don't have one, because we'll get you one if you don't have one. Okay? So, Deborah's in the Old Testament in the Bible. And I'm just going to say that again. If you are here tonight and you do not own a Bible, come and see me at the end, okay? She's in the Old Testament of the Bible, and it's contained in the book called the Book of Judges. Now, let me tell you something. If you're new to the Bible and you're thinking, I'm too scared to bring my Bible out because everybody will go really quickly to the pages and I don't go there really quickly, there's a thing at the beginning of the book and it's called a contents page, right? And it's even in the Bible, this special book. Get yourself a bookmarker off of Lisa because we've got tons left. Get your bookmarker and put it in the contents page, okay? So when the preacher or the speaker says, go to Judges in the Old Testament, you can see it's in number such and such. And it takes away all that panic and all that fear. Why am I saying this to you? Because I know what you're thinking, Debbie, you always put the stuff on the slides. Yes, you're right. But every now and again, it tricks us. Like Friday morning last week, where we had to fly solo and we didn't have anything. So bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles. So we're learning all about Deborah. And we heard last week, we heard all about what her name means. Now, I know this one because Debbie actually comes from Deborah. But Deborah's name, in the Hebrew means honeybee. Bring on the bees. So last week we had a whole session looking at the honeybees. Because actually there is a lot in the characteristic of a honeybee that we can take and learn from as modern day women of God, women of influence. You see, the honeybees are hardworking. They produce results that are so sweet because they produce honey. They also work hard to serve their colonies and their leader, the queen bee. And we as modern day Deborahs, dependent women of God, women of influence, well, we too are hardworking, are we not? We too are productive in serving not the colony, but the kingdom of God. And we too serve our leader, Jesus Christ. So just in one name, Deborah, we learned so much last week about the woman that God has actually called us to be. And she's like a honeybee as opposed to a wasp. Many of us have come across a few wasps in our time that have stung us and hurt us and wounded us. But we're going to be the honeybees and not the wasps. That was just the introduction. Okay, the time is going to be well off this evening. So what does God want to teach us tonight about Deborah? Well, tonight he wants to show us a day in the life of Deborah and what a normal day for Deborah was like and the different things that she got herself involved in. But most importantly, what was she called to do? Do you know you're called by God? Do you know that he's gifted you uniquely and he wants you to serve his kingdom? So we're going to look a wee bit further into her life this evening. So what was a day in the life of Deborah like? Well, Judges 4, verse 5, it tells us this. She held court under the palm of Deborah. Everyone say palm. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel. And we heard all about the significance of that last week. Between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Amen. Now we heard in week 2 that Deborah was a wife. She was a judge. She was a prophetess, and she was a mother of Israel. So first thing we see here is that she held court. Come on in, ladies. Find a seat. You're welcome here. She held court under the palm of Deborah. She is a female judge holding court, settling disputes, giving out advice, and performing a judicial function. Now, isn't it very interesting that she carried out her function, not in a fancy office? Because quite honestly, there wouldn't have been any fancy offices in those days. But isn't it interesting that she didn't carry out this very important job in a fancy tent, because they would have had tents. And she didn't have a tent that had lovely velvet curtains all around it. And she didn't say, come on into my fancy tent while I give you some advice. No, she didn't do that. Her role as a judge was unlike any judge that we think of in a court, you know, hammering down the, I can never remember what it's called, the gavel or whatever it's called, and settling whether you're guilty or not guilty. But she was there as a judge to help people by offering them counsel and support and being able to listen to them. Are you picking up on these key qualities? To speak to them in truth and love. Families coming with disputes and helping them to make a way for peace. She was basically the voice of wisdom to the people when they needed it. And we heard last week, they needed it because they were living in a dark time. She was to be that voice of comfort. She was to be that voice for the voiceless. To be that person in the family that speaks up for what's right. A woman that is willing to offer godly counsel, even if it means you lose face, that you're embarrassed, or that you get the door shut in your face. She was there to be able to encourage the younger generation also. And what I find so fascinating about this is that, yes, she didn't have a fancy tent with velvet curtains. But not only that, we read there that she held court under the palm tree. I love palm trees. When you think of palm trees, you just think on my holidays, don't you? You just think sipping pina colada, lying on a sun lounger. But here we have it. She's in the desert somewhere and she's under a palm tree. Now this is hugely, hugely significant. Picture this. She is a very important woman. She has a very important job. And here she is getting down in the dirt with the people that come to see her. She wasn't standing up, towering over them, lording her position over them. No, she was a woman that was prepared to get down in the dirt. And sometimes when we feel like we're in the dirt, we feel ashamed and we feel dirty and we can't get our head up because the shame is pushing us down. And oh, how we need someone that's just going to come alongside us and get down with us. And I don't mean break out in a dance, Lisa. I mean get down in the dirt with us and say, okay, you're in the dirt today, but you're not going to be in the dirt forever. And there is a way out of that. There's a process, confession, repentance, or there's a process. Let me pray for you. But Deborah was a woman that was willing to get down with the people. I feel like breaking into a dance. But get down with the people. There she was. It's a beautiful picture. But do you know what it's a beautiful picture of? Servant leadership. Servant leadership. Those of you that are here tonight that want to be a modern day Deborah and carry the same anointing, be that woman of influence. Well, let me tell you, the first thing you need to take away from this tonight is that we need to be women who are prepared to sit with other women. Or sit with other men or children or youth or whatever area that God is calling you to. Because that is what our Savior Jesus demonstrated. You know, many people in the Old Testament were foreshadows of Jesus. Corinne actually taught us many things about that when she spoke about Joseph. And Deborah, she didn't stick out as one of them. No commentaries would suggest her in that category. But when we see her getting down in the dirt with the people, do you know what it makes me think about? It makes me think about our Savior Jesus getting down and washing the disciples' feet. He came to serve us, and yet he is the King. So if you're looking to establish what a godly leader looks like, then she or he is a servant leader. She was a judge, but she was a servant leader. The time for the prima donna, a prophetess, it's over. A prophetess sitting in her fancy tent eating grapes, it's over. That's not what we're called to be as a prophet. If you want to be a modern day Deborah, operate under God's call for your life, then you need to be prepared to come and sit with the people, to sit among the people, to be non-judgmental, to help, to encourage, to be slow to anger, abounding in love. So Deborah had the qualities of a honeybee. She was a judge. She did that with compassion and with wisdom. She gave out godly advice during a difficult time. We're living in a difficult time. God needs honeybees today to help others. And she was also a servant leader. So there's a few things that we've learned about her, but also about what God is calling us to be. She was also a prophet. Amos 1 verse 7 says that God reveals his purpose through his prophets. And when God's got something that he wants to reveal, he chooses a messenger to deliver the news. It may be news for an individual. It may be for the woman-to-woman group. It may be for a nation. It may be for a church. And God still uses prophets to deliver and reveal his word today. And God is still speaking through people today. So let's look at what prophetic words God gave Deborah. So she's living in a dark time. She's living in a dangerous time. She's a woman in a dangerous time, doing a pretty big job. And she's also distributing the word of God, the word that God has given her. So in Judges 4, 6 and 7, we see Deborah speaking to the commander of the army, a man. She's speaking to the commander of the army. He can't get any higher up than this man, and his name is Barak. Everyone say Barak. Barak. I'm glad we can pronounce his name, because here I'm about to pronounce some other names. So, Judges 4, 6 and 7. She sent for Barak, son of Abinom, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, this is the word, okay? The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, he's the opposition, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River, and I will give him into your hands. Woo! What words! God told Deborah exactly what was about to happen. And not only did he tell her exactly what was about to happen, he gave her a word to instruct the commander of the army to go ahead and do this. And she goes on to tell him the result of that, that they will be handed into your hands. So before we move on and establish what happens here, I want to pause at this guy for a moment. And we've just been introduced to him. He's just come onto the scene today. And we're going to find out a wee bit more about him next week and the week after. And can I just say, next week's a big week in the Deborah series. Because next week, we're looking at relationships. All about relationships. And if I know what I know about women to women, then that is a topic that not one of us wants to miss. So Barak is introduced here. He's the commander of the army. Now let me tell you something about Barak, which is really incredibly interesting. You see, our motto text for this year comes from Hebrews 12. Since we are surrounded by all these heroes, right? That's a sort of quick rundown of that. But also in Hebrews 11, is commonly known as the Hall of Faith. There's a list of some of these heroes. Now not all of them are listed. But some of them are, like Abraham, and we started the year off with him. But look who makes it in to the Hall of Faith. And we come across it in verse 32 and 34 of Hebrews 11. It says, what more shall I say? Because the writer's already talked about all these others. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, another judge there, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also David and Samuel, and the prophets. Now, it will be made clear to us as we go on why this guy Barak is perhaps considered in the Hall of Faith. But maybe you're thinking right now, wait a wee minute. I don't want to be anyone that disputes the word of God, but why is Deborah not in here? Because if that's what you're thinking right now, then I thought that same thing. Not everybody is listed by name in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. For instance, I'm not in there, and neither are you. But we are. We're going to be. Okay? And it does actually say also of David, Samuel, and the prophets, of which Deborah was one. So she is in there. So I've satisfied my need for that, because I was a wee bit miffed when I came across that. But Barak's there, and quite rightly so, and we'll find out why as we go on. So, she was a prophetess, and here we see her speaking out the word of God to the commander of the army. He is a war hero. And she doesn't just do it once, she does it again. Let's read again, Judges 4, 14 to 16. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down to meet Tabor. Look at that. He obeys her instructions. And he goes with 10,000 men following him. So not only does he obey her word, but he gets all these men to follow her word. Okay? And then in verse 15, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword. Amen. And Sisera got down from his chariot and he fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as that place. And all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Woo! Sisera, meanwhile, well, wee bit of a coward, fled on foot to the tent of Jael. We hear all about her soon, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there was an alliance between Jabin the king of Hazar and the family of Heber the Kenite. Wow! So what we see here is a woman speaking to a man, delivering the very word of God that God has given her to speak, and she does it with boldness and with courage. That deserves an amen. Amen. Now here's the thing. That was brave. That was brave. He could have said to her, "Look, dear, just you go home and go and you darn your husband's socks." I don't actually think she would have said that. He'd have said that because they probably did wear socks. But just you go home and do some flatbreads. Do some laundry. Don't you tell me what to do. Could have. Because remember, in those days, women had no social standing. They had no rights to family inheritance. In many ways, they were considered lower than the dogs. You know? Shep, the dog, was more important than what the wives were. And I say wives, because they would often had a few. But that was the role of the prophet, and it's still the role of the prophet today, is to be bold. Hearing this? To be courageous. To deliver that word of God, believing with all of your heart that it came straight from the throne room of heaven. It's not an easy job. Wasn't an easy job then. Much of what God wanted to speak through the prophets, especially in times like this, was not popular. They would come, turn back to God, turn away from idol worship. And then people were like, "You away, I'm not listening to you." But what does it say about Deborah? Well, we once again see how brave she was. And that's how we are calling her a heroine of the faith. And I wonder if God has ever asked you to do something brave, where your knees were knocking. I believe her knees was probably knocking at the time. I wonder if he's asking you right now to take a stand and be strong. How will you make that decision? I wonder how she made her decision. But it's becoming clear to me, and I hope it is to you also, that she was a true woman of faith. You don't take a stand as bold and courageous as that on your own strength. We saw that in Esther's story. Before she had to make her big decision, she locked herself in to prayer for 3 days, and I believe Deborah will have done the same. She was able to deliver a bold word though, the word that God gave her, because she knew the one that gave her the word. You see, when you spend time with someone intimately, for those of you that are in a romantic relationship just now, think about that person for a moment. And when you first met them, you got those butterflies in your tummy, and you started to get to know them. And at that point, you didn't know if they liked potatoes or chips, did you? But you had to get to know them. You had to get to know what they liked. And do you like this song? No, I don't like that band. What movies do you like? And you would spend all that time on the phone, you know, whether it's a mobile phone, or it was with the back in my day when you used to curl the phone wire, and you would sit and play with the phone wire all night where you spoke to the love of your life on the phone. And you would get to know them. And as you get to know someone intimately, you get to understand who they are, don't you? And what they like and their character. And before they've even finished the sentence, you can start to finish the sentence because you know what they're going to say. And that comes by spending time with each other. That comes with spending time in each other's presence. Well, the same applies to our relationship with God. When we spend time in His presence, when we present ourselves before God in prayer, and when we don't just pray and then run away, because let's be honest, sometimes we come and we say, "Hi God, I'm here to pray. Here's my list. Can you sort this out with that situation at my work? Can you protect wee Johnny who's going to nursery for the first time this week? Can you give me strength because I've got to do this big thing? And oh, and by the way, God, can you just sort that out with that bit of issue that I've got with that bill? And oh, thanks, cheers, God, see you later." And then we walk away. And God's like, but Ranga, but Susan, or Kirsty, I've actually got, but you're out the door. You're away to Tesco. You're in the car. And God's like, linger. Stay a while. Listen a wee bit further. Press in a little bit deeper. Because actually, I want to speak to you. And I've got things I want to share with you. And actually, I've got something that I want to give you that is actually for somebody else. I've actually got a word for Mary. But if you would actually just sit your bum on that seat or kneel on that carpet and wait a wee bit longer, you will get that word for Mary. And you'll be able to go into church on Sunday and you'll be able to speak to her and say, "I was praying for you. And the Lord says He wants to bless you." But we won't get it. You won't get the word of prophecy. You won't get the word of knowledge. You won't get the comfort. You won't get the blessing and the peace if you run away. It's through spending time, as we heard on Saturday, to be a Mary rather than a Martha and kneel at the feet of Jesus. The reason why I know that Deborah is a woman of God is because she delivered the word of God. And the only way she will have received the word of God is because she spent time in the Lord's presence. So we might not be mentioned, might not say, "Oh, and she was peeling the carrots and then she dropped to her knees and she sang a few psalms and, oh, Lord, you're good." And it doesn't say that, but it does say it. She's a woman that has spent time with the Father. Are you prepared to be still? Are you prepared to quieten your heart? Are you prepared to sit long enough in His presence in order to hear Him speak? Let's linger a little. A modern day Deborah is a dependent woman of God. And as dependent women of God, as we are seeking to be, we need to be women who position ourselves to hear the voice of God, to develop an up-close and personal relationship. So modern-day Deborahs are dependent women. They have got the characteristics of a honeybee. Like the judge of Deborah, we are to be prepared to seek God's counsel and offer counsel. To be that woman that other women can come and sit alongside and we can pray with and we can help them and we can encourage them and we can speak words of wisdom. We're going to be servant leaders, women who are prepared to get down in the dirt with others in their darkest, deepest, dirtiest moments and not judge them or condemn them, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And as modern day prophets, maybe God's not calling you to be a prophet, but you can prophesy over yourself. Any one of us can lean into God. Any one of us can spend time in his presence and lean into the pictures and the words and the visions that he gives us. But what we can take from that is that we need to be women who spend time in his presence in order to hear his voice. And speak the word of God boldly. Right, it's 8:30. I'm going to finish off with one more thing, so bear with me. We also heard that Deborah was a mother in Israel. The fact that Deborah's called a mother is also significant. Now, we don't know, because I've looked and I've searched the commentaries. And if you want to go and do the same, come back and tell me if you come up with anything else. But I've looked, and nowhere can I find that she actually had her own biological children. Stay with me here, okay? We heard last week that she wasn't a young woman, she was a middle-aged woman, according to some of the research that I've done. Now, in those days, we girls would dream of growing up, being able to know how to do a flatbread, be able to know how to wash clothes, and find a man, and get married. And not a lot's changed these days. We still want to grow up, we still want to know how to cook, we still want to know how to look good and do our clothes, we still want that companionship, but now we also want to be brain surgeons, come on, and we also want to be teachers. And so, you know, in many ways not a lot has changed. Only, as Grace said on Sunday, we're great multitaskers. And we can do many things. Because we are women who depend on God, and we are women who want to do what God's called us to do. So he might make you a good cook that's also good at looking after children, that can sew, but he's also calling you to be an engineer. Amen, hallelujah. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. So, but in those days, that was really the dream. So the fact that we know she's married, because she's married to Lapidoth, we heard that in week 2. We'll find out about him next week. We know she was married. So it's quite possible, right, that she'd have kids. But maybe our kids are grown up. Okay, but it doesn't say, because it obviously doesn't think it's relevant for us to know that. Again, as I said on Saturday, probably written by a man. Because we want to know the juicy details. We want to know how many men she's had. So we want to know all of that. So, we don't know that, but the fact that she's married, the fact that in those days that came as a package, she quite possibly did have her kids, but I can't say for sure. But the role of a mother, let me tell you something, because that's what we're looking at just now. The role of a mother is needed in the world today. Now, wait a wee moment to explain this. You see, you might be here tonight, and you might not have your own biological children. For some reason, you weren't able to have children. Or, you didn't want to have children. I understand that some days. Anyway. So when I say that the world needs mothers today, I don't want you just to shut off right now. Okay? If you don't have your own biological children, for whatever reason, I don't want you to shut your ears right now. Because this is just as much for you as it is for me who's given birth to 4, all right? So, the role of a mother is needed in our world today because the qualities of a mother are needed today. Nurturing, supportive, encouraging, a listening ear, a gentle word, a hug if necessary. The role of a mother is needed in our world today. A good listener, a carer, a protector. We are different to men. It's lovely that we're different to men. We have been made by the God the Father with different qualities. And it's lovely. So when you think of mother, I want you to change it, okay? If you're feeling uncomfortable with this. Because when we think of mother, I want you to think of mentor. So when we think of mothering, because that might help you understand this a wee bit better. When you think of mothering, I want you to think of mentoring. There is a world of young women, young girls out there today that need spiritual mothers like you. They need you. They need you to be non-judgmental. They need you to be not condemning. They need you to be there to support them, to tell them that they're loved, to tell them when they've messed up that there is a way out, to be there to say, do you know that Jesus loves you? And it doesn't need to be a woman that's younger in age. It could be a woman that's younger in the faith, or a woman that doesn't even know Jesus. So what we should be asking God as women of influence is, Lord, bring me a woman. Bring me a woman. Bring me a girl just like that, that I can be her spiritual mother. And she could be 20 years older than me. It doesn't matter. But that God has given you the qualities of a mentor. You know what, woman to woman, we always have girls around us that we mentor. I've made it my aim over the last 10 years to get alongside young women and help them. And many of them are in this room. And when I see them doing the things that they're doing for God today, oh my goodness, my heart bursts like their mother. And I'm not their mother. They've got mothers, wonderful mothers. But my heart bursts like a mother when I see them doing great things for Jesus. So come on. Let's be spiritual mothers. Be women like Deborah who will pull up a chair, who will get down in the dirt, who will sit and greet with you all night if that's what's necessary. We are looking to be like Deborah, our role model in this season. Modern day Deborahs are servant leaders. They are spiritual mothers. They're carers and protectors. Deborah saw a need and she stepped up. So what is God calling you into? What are the gifts that he's placed inside of you? What is God speaking to you tonight as we conclude this session? Well, as his daughter, he is who he says you are. I'll say that again. You are who he says you are. You're not what other people have spoken over you. You're not the lies that other people have spoken or said about you. You're not your past. If you have given your life to Jesus, you believe in God, that God sent his son, and you have given your life to Jesus, you've received him, you've said a prayer at some time in your life that says, Lord, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent your precious son to die for me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. If you've said a prayer like that at some point in your life, then the Bible says that you're no longer who you used to be, that you are now a woman of God, a daughter of the Most High King, a brand new creation. And if you're here tonight and you have never said that prayer, in fact, you're here tonight and for the first time you're hearing that God loves you so much that he gave his son to die for you, for your sin. And if you want to pray that prayer and you want to walk out here tonight having started a brand new relationship with Jesus, knowing who you are in him, can I encourage you to come down to the cross at the end, and the prayer ministry team will help you in that. God is calling us to be women just like Deborah. So I'm going to leave it there tonight because I've gone off script and we're 8 minutes late. So why don't we stand together as we ponder what God is speaking to us tonight. Let's close our eyes. Let's just take a wee salah moment just now. Father, we have heard today and over the last couple of weeks that we have been chosen by you. That you have called us as your daughters to be set apart. Women that are in this world but are not of this world. Women that are different. Women that are dependent on you. Women like Deborah who carry an anointing. Women who possess the qualities of the honeybee producing the sweetest of results. Lord, we ask that you would lead us by your Spirit into the areas of responsibility and ministry that you've called us into. Empower us and equip us by your Spirit to be the women of influence today. May we be your servants. May we be ready and willing and prepared to serve others in humility and in love. Lord, show us what it means to be a mother in these days. A spiritual mentor to others. May we lead with compassion and with wisdom. May we be prepared to give up our time to give it to someone else. Show us, God, the people that you've called us to draw alongside. tomorrow in our workplaces, in our communities, at the gym, in our own home. Help us, Lord God, to lean into your spirit, to hear your voice, and to speak words of encouragement to those that you would have around us. Lord God, help us to be your child, your daughter, to live our life as you have designed it, and not the life that this world is offering. So tonight, Lord God, we reject this world and everything that is telling us to be as a woman, and we accept who we are as your daughters. And this we pray in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen and amen.